Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 6th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be speaking with Douglas Laufenberger about a receptor tyrosine kinase that's involved in the migratory behavior of breast cancer cells that are resistant to inhibitors of the receptor tyrosine kinase, or B. In many types of cancers, cell growth is driven by changes in the activities of receptor tyrosine kinases. Drugs that target these receptors have been developed for treating various cancers, but tumor cells often become resistant to the drugs and resume growth or spread to new sites. In a study published in the current issue of Science Signaling, Douglas Laufenberger's group reports that increased signaling by a receptor tyrosine kinase called AXL can promote migration of breast cancer cells that are resistant to inhibitors targeting another receptor tyrosine kinase called ERBB. Laufenberger spoke to me from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, where he's a researcher at the Koch Institute for Integrative Cancer Research. Hi, Dr. Laufenberger. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Various types of cancers are driven by increased activity of receptor tyrosine kinases, or we call them RTKs for short. And although drugs have been developed to inhibit signaling by some of these RTKs, it's common for tumor cells to become resistant to those RTK inhibitors and resume growth even after they initially respond to the drug. How do tumor cells develop resistance to RTK inhibitors?
There can be two different kinds of ways tumors become resistant to these drugs. One way is for the cells to develop alterations in their molecular circuits that enable them to bypass or overcome the signal inhibition. These alterations could arise from new genetic mutations or, more readily, from increased activity of other non-mutated molecules due to feedback. This is what's called acquired resistance. The second way is called innate resistance, and it derives not from changes in any of the original tumor cells, but in fact due to a small subpopulation of these cells that are inherently unaffected by the drug. The reasons for this are similar to those in acquired resistance. It could be that the subpopulation already has different genetic mutations that bypass or overcome the drug signal inhibition, or already have increased activity of other non-mutated molecules.
So one of the ways that cancer cells can develop resistance to RTK inhibitors is by altering their expression of other RTKs to get around that roadblock that's imposed by the RTK inhibitor. In this study, you examined data from a collection of different cancers to identify changes in the expression of RTKs that correlate with the potential to develop resistance to an inhibitor of the RTK ERBB. What do the cells that develop resistance to ERBB inhibitors have in common?
That's right. Increasing activity of other RTKs is a common avenue for resistance against a particular RTK inhibitor, generally by increased expression of another RTK or its stimulatory ligand. Now, this could come from gene application or enhanced gene expression or from altered activity of self-surface proteases that govern the level of functional RTKs and ligands. In this study we're talking about, what we found is that increased expression of the particular RTK, known as AXL, is especially correlated with resistance against ERBB inhibitors. There have been idiosyncratic indications of the importance of AXL in ERBB inhibitor resistance in the previous literature, but our study puts AXL in a prominent place by using a novel computational analysis. Very extensive information across many drugs and many tumor types. They're documented in the Cancer Cell Line Encyclopedia, CCLE, database.
Increased expression of the RTK AXL correlated with an increased propensity to develop resistance to ERBB inhibitors. Did that finding hold up in the experiments in vitro?
In the in vitro experiments, both in what we did in our laboratory and in some of the previous reports, indeed, we could find that resistance of, in our case, triple-negative breast cancer cells to inhibition of ERBB signaling correlated even more, not only with AXL expression, but with physical co-localization of AXL with the ERBB receptors.
How does AXL promote resistance to ERBB inhibitors?
From the study that we did, what it looks like is the presence of AXL, the overexpression of AXL, and apparently the physical colocalization with ERBB receptors amplifies ligand-stimulated ERBB signaling not only quantitatively but qualitatively, that it enhances signaling distributed across pathways that might otherwise not be as strongly activated by ERBB itself. Especially among these, what we found was that the AKT pathway was especially amplified by AXL overexpression and strongly reduced by knocking down AXL when you had ERBB activation. This pathway, along with some others, is very strongly involved in promoting cell motility, and that's related to invasion and metastasis.
Does the ability of AXL to promote cell motility require activity of ERBB?
It does. The stimulation of AXL by itself did not give the same strength and distribution of these multi-pathway networks as did activation of ERBB receptors by their ligands that was then, in fact, amplified by the expression of AXL.
How are the signals from AXL and ERBB integrated?
That's a complex problem that we haven't really sorted out. What we do know is that for any phenotype, whether it's proliferation or survival or invasive migration, is governed by the activities of multiple pathways working together or being integrated. The combination of pathways that needed to be activated strongly to promote invasive motility did require the presence of AXL.
Does AXL promote cell migration or tumor development downstream of other receptor kinases in addition to ERBB?
We're not certain at this point. In the computational study of the Cancer Cell Line Encyclopedia database, the RTK inhibitors for other receptors aren't nearly as selective as they are for the ERBB inhibitors, so the significance of that computational analysis was really harder to pin down. We suspect that it will be the case, but right now, until there's data across many tumor types from more selective inhibitors of some of these other RTKs, we really haven't been able to pull that out of the analysis.
Do your results have any implications for cancer therapies that target RTKs? Should clinicians be targeting multiple RTKs all at once?
I certainly do believe that there will be some lessons from what we're learning here and in ensuing studies for therapeutics. For the particular case of triple-negative breast cancer, a great puzzle has been why EGF receptor inhibitors are generally ineffective, because these types of cancers generally express high levels of this receptor, so you would think that inhibitors against it would work. What our findings suggest is that the overexpression of AXL that mediates amplification of the signaling, then even though one inhibits EGF receptor signaling down to what you think is a lower level, the presence of AXL can then still amplify it into other pathways, so that AXL itself might be a more vital target for inhibition in this kind of disease. For other RTK-dependent cancers more broadly, I think it's certainly the case that co-drugging, whether with an AXL inhibitor or other RTK inhibitors simultaneously, ought to be more effective than either inhibitor alone. We certainly do know that these bypass mechanisms are common and so need to be considered from the start and probably from pre-designed drug combinations.
Thanks, Dr. Laufenberger, for speaking with me about your work.
It's been a great pleasure, and I'm glad that this work will be communicated out to our community in Science Signaling.
That was Douglas Laufenberger, senior author of a paper published in the August 6th issue of Science Signaling by Meyer and colleagues, titled AXL Diversifies EGFR Signaling and Mitigates Response to EGFR-Targeted Therapies in Triple-Negative Breast Carcinoma Cells. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.